Good evening, everybody. Boy, that snuck up on me, the 6 o'clock, but it is 6 o'clock. It is January 11th, and I am going to call this C.J. Woolley City Council meeting to order. Please stand with me to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. We'll do roll call. I'll begin with Councilman Owen.
Present.
Councilman McGoffin.
Present.
Councilwoman Diamond.
Present.
Councilman Burns.
Present.
Councilwoman Kesty.
Present.
Councilman Allen.
Present.
And Councilman Lavaca.
Present.
Okay, moving on to the approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
Madam Mayor, I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
I'll second.
I'll give that to Councilwoman Kesty. So we have a motion by Councilman Burns, seconded by Councilwoman Kesty. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Consent agenda, items 1 through 8. Do I have a motion?
Madam Mayor, I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I'll second.
Thank you. So I have a motion by Councilman Lavaca, seconded by Councilwoman Diamond. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, thank you. So there are no special guests or presentations tonight, so we'll move right into staff reports. And I understand, Kelly, you have a couple things that you want to share.
Good evening. I'm happy to report we are through our state audit and received great results. We have no reportable recommendations. We had a one-year financial statement audit and a two-year accountability audit. Accountability audits where they look at our procedures, policies, how we safeguard public resources. Those results were emailed to all of you today by the auditor and will be posted on our website when they are made public. Any questions about the audit?
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you.
Fantastic for the first year round.
Yeah, I just wanted to add on. Great job. That's really impressive.
Thank you. And then in the consent agenda you just approved was the council schedule for 2023. We did make one change to the schedule from prior years, which was adding the committee meetings onto the schedule. So all of the committee meetings are scheduled out through the year. And they will now be held in public in the council chambers.
That's all. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, too. That does make it much easier.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Okay. Charlie.
Just one item this evening that I included in the packet, and that is the Cedar Woolley Academy. It's a new civic engagement program that we talked about a little bit in the budget process, and we went ahead and launched the marketing of it last week. And it will close on the 24th of January. We'll have an 8-week program that'll start on February 9th and run through the 30th. And each night of that program will focus on a different topic. First night's going to be on the structure of government here. The second week will be mayor, council, administrator, city attorney. Third week, finance, city clerk, and information technology. And then we'll get into police, fire, planning and community development, public works, and then we'll have a graduation at the end. The goal is really to get more people engaged in our local government to help people understand better how we function. And through that process, hopefully get them interested in serving on boards and commissions. And as we look at our community development grant program here in the next few months, hopefully get them interested in doing some projects to help beautify the community and going from there. So asking the council for help. We've got 3 applicants. We just got one 10 minutes ago. And they say a fourth one's coming, so we're making progress a few days into this. But we've got room for 15 people, so it would be great if we could have anybody and everybody who's comfortable spread the word to anybody who might be interested. So any questions?
Thank you, Charlie, for putting this together. This is exciting for the city.
My pleasure.
Appreciate you doing it. Moving on to council reports. I'll begin with you, Councilman Owen.
I don't have anything. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Councilman McGoffin.
Thank you. I just want to wish everyone a happy new year, and I'm excited to work with the committees and council this year and see what we can get done.
Exciting. Thank you. Councilwoman Diamond.
Nothing this evening. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Councilman Burns.
I just wanted to thank you all for scheduling the committee meetings out for the year. That'll be kind of nice to have far in advance, and I hope everybody has a happy new year.
Thank you. Councilwoman Kesty.
Nothing this evening.
All right. Thank you. Councilman Allen.
I'll be in South in a month, but it'll be between meetings, so it's only a week. So.
Oh, wow. We're all jealous. Headed to the sun, are you?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thank you. Councilman Lavaca.
Nothing this evening. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. I only have a couple things that I want to point out to you, and they were both in the information. The fire department, I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at that, but in December they actually had the busiest month in their history with 375 calls. And if you have a chance to take a look at it's a pretty extensive report that he submitted and talks about the different kinds of calls that they've gone to. Really fascinating and probably very educational for all of us to take a look at that. The other thing is we have work that is starting on Olmsted Park, civil work. It's fill and grade, and there is a public comment period which began yesterday and will close on the 24th. And one last thing, we did make mention of this, and this was in the packet last month, or last meeting, and that is to welcome Paul Koch to the Planning Commission. So he will have his Planning Commission meeting on the 17th of this month, and that begins at 6:30. And I wanted to extend a thanks again to Stacey Penno for her 5 years of service, both on the Planning Commission and to the City of Cedar Woolley. So and that is all I have at this point. So we will move on to public comments. I will open public comment right now. If there is anyone who would like to provide public comment, please state your name and your address, and if possible, limit it to 3 minutes. So is there anybody for public comment? And I will start in the council here. Is there anybody in the council here? Okay, so then I will take, I'm getting heads shaking no. So is there anybody online who may be interested in public comment? If so, go ahead and unmute your mic and I will call on you. All right, I do not see anybody doing that, so we will close public comment and move on to unfinished business. We have one item on the unfinished business, and that is a quasi-judicial decision and land use process updates. This is a second read, and I believe it is, John, are you the one who's going to be taking this one tonight?
Yes. So, forgot. Would you like me to approach or?
Up to you, John.
We'll follow our new protocols. Good evening, Council, Mayor. So this is a second read on updates to our municipal code for procedures that the Planning Department follows for processing land use applications. I gave a lengthy presentation about this back in December, and opened it up to questions. I haven't received any questions from council in the meantime. Just wanted to reiterate, this is changes for procedural actions. This is not changes to any regulations or standards that applicants have to meet. It's just the process by which that applications are processed. Largely, this is intended to streamline and reduce risk for the city. The planning department and the city attorney's office worked together on this for quite a long time to put together these lengthy changes, and I apologize, there's a lot here. If there's any further questions, I'll spare you the presentation a second time.
Hearing none, then Can we move forward with the motion?
So I do want to say thanks for doing that. It does look like it was a lot of work, and there was a lot in there that you guys did. So I'll make a motion to approve the quasi-judicial. Sorry about that.
Land use, yes. Okay,
yes,
thank
land
you.
Land use, thank you.
Thank you, yeah.
I'll second that.
All right, thank you. So we have a motion by Councilman Lavaca and seconded by Councilman Burns to approve Ordinance 2032-22, amending Titles 15, 16, and 17 of the Cedar-Woolley Municipal Code to streamline and correct certain land use decision-making processes. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Motion carries.
Thank you, Council. Mayor.
Thank you, John.
Madam Mayor, I forgot earlier, John called me back today on a question I had. I'd like to thank you very much for responding. So we do get feedback.
Excellent. Thank you. It's good to know that. Appreciate you sharing that, Councilman Allen. Okay, moving on to Mayor Pro Tem appointment. So this is where the council has the opportunity to select the new Mayor Pro Tem for 2023. And I am just going to open it up for nominations.
I make a motion that we pass that on to my neighbor next door, Mr. McGoffin. I think he's a great, great choice.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are you okay with that?
Don't really want to be.
You don't really want to be?
Sure you can.
I appreciate the honor of being selected, but I think there's someone else that would be a better fit at this time.
So. Who would you like to nominate then?
Can I make a nomination too?
Yeah.
I'd like to nominate Council Member Burns.
Okay. And I say that only because I'm under the impression, are you rescinding that offer? Or are you not wanting to?
Yes, I am not interested.
Okay. But
I appreciate the offer.
You turned me down, man.
I'm sorry.
I'll never stand up for you again.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I don't know.
Well, so he nominated Councilman Burns. Is there a second for that?
How about Councilman Allen?
I'm very happy with your first nomination.
I was thinking your first one, too, for some reason.
Do we have, yes? Do we have another nomination?
Maybe.
Would Joanne Kesty be a good nomination?
Well, she's already served. It would be nice if it was somebody else, but.
Yeah, that worked out good. So I would be down with Joan Burns.
All right. Well, so we have Councilman Burns. I'm going to put it before the council then if there's nobody else. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Okay. All right. So all those in favor of Councilman Burns signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All those in favor of Councilwoman Kesty signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Okay. All right, then it's congratulations. I have to be honest, I think it really would have been nice if somebody else could have had the opportunity to do that as well, since you had the opportunity a year ago. But, okay, so you have Councilwoman Kesty as your Mayor Pro Tem. Moving on to new business as well, the scope change request for Township. And Mr. Freiberger, I believe that's you.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. So I tried
tried to explain this somewhat long story in my memo to you, but I'll give you a little bit of a rundown on it just for the sake of...
Sorry. Thank you. So once again, you have a council memo that attempts to explain the situation we have on our design for the SR9 Township McGargle and John Liner Road intersection project. As you know, we completed a scoping study for the Jones-John Liner Trail Road Corridor project in January of 2020. In that corridor study, we examined two separate possibilities for intersection improvements at that location. One would have been a roundabout, which was actually the preferred option in the scoping study, the second being a traffic signal. We elected to proceed with the traffic signal as the scoping study, traffic study, indicated that either intersection type would provide a level of service A, which is the best level of service you can have. The reason we favored the traffic signal was mainly cost, and a secondary thing, not really secondary, but the proximity of the schools gave us staff some concern about a roundabout for the school children's sake there. So we proceeded on that basis. We had support letters from many other supporting groups, the school district and the Department of Transportation. The Department of Transportation scope letter did include a caveat. It said their approval of the project was subject to submittal of a traffic study that would consider all options for the intersection. And so they did have that caveat in there. So we went on our way. We applied for funds from TIB for a signal, and that was awarded last November. And we selected Reichart and Eby to design the project. And first order of business was to prepare what's called an ICE, an intersection control evaluation, which did just what DOT required us to do, which was to look at the two options and study them. Among other things, it looks at societal costs and safety. The costs include an evaluation of accident severity and that kind of thing. There's a dollar of values applied to that, and also how it performs with traffic. We already knew the roundabout would perform well at the intersection. The main difference cost-wise was the fact that in the scoping study, we estimated there would be one full right-of-way take, which would be one of the houses at the northeast corner in order to build a roundabout, whereas with a traffic signal, we could do it with minor takes from the four corners. So we submitted the intersection control evaluation based on the information we had. Our first submittal actually supported a traffic signal over a roundabout. That was based on the federal guidelines for the way you analyze crash data and that kind of thing. And it did show that a traffic signal would perform slightly less optimally than a roundabout, but due to the cost and the other and the accident factors, it would outperform a roundabout. When DOT took almost 4 months to analyze that, and they came back and said they disagreed with our ICE. And they did that based on the fact that they, in Washington, have developed an alternative way of looking at crashes, particularly in roundabouts, that heavily favors them over traffic signals. Our consultant, who's a well-heeled one, by the way, was not aware of that data. It's relatively recently DOT has been imposing those factors on reviews. We're not the only ones that have been caught in this little dilemma of how you analyze signals as opposed to roundabouts. And, in fact, Burlington's got a similar issue right now where at the Skagit Street intersection, they had proposed to build a traffic signal, had it fully funded through SCOG funds. DOT disagreed with their analysis and is requiring them to relook at that again. And that has basically stopped that particular project. So we were under the same situation with that. Sort of coincidentally, or maybe with good reason, I was asked to present at the Transportation Improvement Board meeting in November. They ask agencies to do that just to talk about how TIB has affected their agencies. And, of course, we've been greatly blessed with funding from that agency over the years. And so I made my presentation and stayed for the rest of the meeting, intending to talk to the TIB staff about this dilemma with the ICE review after the meeting and see what kind of path forward we would have with their funding. During the course of the meeting, it became apparent that TIB had quite a bit of extra funds in their accounts, and it did kind of raise my eyebrows a little bit to hear that. TIB does not like to keep a fund balance because the legislature has a tendency to rob any funds sitting around that have not been allocated. So I made my situation known to the TIB staff after the meeting, and they indicated actually that they would be interested in supporting the building of a roundabout at this intersection in lieu of the signal, and the staff would support that to the full board at the next board meeting. So anyway, I came back with that information and started working on a scope change request. I discussed it with administration. One of the things that I needed to settle in my own mind, and I worked with our consultant to do that, was the safety aspect that I mentioned with the school kids. Even before I went to the TIB board meeting, they had told me that Bob Herman's the gentleman's name. He had been to a recent ITE, International Transportation Engineers, meeting, and the topic of discussion was safety and roundabouts. And the latest data is that roundabouts are considerably safer than traffic signals, even in the case of small pedestrians, school children and stuff like that. And the reason is that inherently in a roundabout, the speeds are simply slower than they are in a signal. There's virtually no chance of a high-speed problem with a pedestrian in a roundabout. And so the data clearly supports roundabouts even in that factor. And as you probably know, I'm a pretty big supporter of roundabouts anyway. We built four of them in Cedar Woolley in the last 15 years. With that information in hand, I took another closer look at this, and I had our traffic engineer redo the ICE based on the DOT figures. They had already done that preliminarily before the TIB meeting, but I had them do a full analysis. And not surprisingly, the result came out that the ICE now favors a roundabout intersection as opposed to a signal. And TIB is willing to fund either 25 or 20% of the cost of the increase. I talk about the numbers in the course of the memorandum. Essentially, what happens is TIB is willing to pick up their percentage of that. It's a $1.5 million difference between the existing signal cost and the roundabout as we look at it now. One of the things, as we've refined the design somewhat, we find that we actually have to acquire two properties rather than one. So there's an impact on two houses rather than one there. That's most of the reason for the differential in the cost. One other factor that comes to bear here is because of the inflation that we've been seeing over the last months, mostly due to supply chain problems with due to COVID, is that the cost estimate for the signal actually went up by $400,000 between the time that the project was funded by TIB and where we're at today. So we have a problem with funding regardless here. I've discussed this a couple of times with TIB since that board meeting, having the ICE revised. I've informed them of that and of the change in the recommendations of the ICE, and they're fully supportive of moving forward with a roundabout intersection here. And I asked them, should we consider the signal and the roundabout, and they basically told me that we should concentrate on funding the roundabout and leave the traffic signal to the side. We have options here that we can pursue. We can try to continue to convince DOT we should build a signal because of the cost basis. We could do that, but we are facing a bit of an uphill battle with DOT. They clearly are favoring roundabouts now, and unless we can come up with a very compelling argument, it's not real likely they're going to approve that. And the clock is ticking on our design. We can go ahead and do this with the additional TIB funds. We will have to provide our match percentage to go along with that, which is about $300,000+ at the match percentage we have in the original grant, which is 25%. The staff did encourage us to request a reduction in the percentage, so I looked at that. If we went down to 2%, the difference is under $200,000. In either case, I have looked at our arterial project listing. That's the way you've heard me talk about how we fund these projects. We have adequate funds in either instance to make this work. And so at this point, I'm recommending to council that we that you approve a scope change request to revise the project to a roundabout intersection and authorize us to contribute the additional funds to match a TIB grant to move this forward on that basis. So that's the gist of the thing, and not a few words, but I did want to say one other thing. One of the council members approached me about the very thing I talked about with safety with school children, which is a big thing in my mind. And this particular roundabout, one thing that's different that I didn't know was possible when we did the scoping study is they are building those now with pedestrian-actuated signals. And that was the main reason I was more supportive of a traffic signal, is that you had a push button at each corner, which the kids could actuate to stop the traffic. We can do that in a roundabout as well. And combined with the fact that the school district is likely to continue to furnish crossing guards at the intersection, I'm very comfortable with a roundabout in that case. And I can tell you that, functionally speaking, another thing that the ICE did bring out is that the roundabout will actually function a fair amount better than a signal would, especially as you get into the years down the road and traffic volumes continue to increase. One of the things that's characteristic of this particular intersection that favors a roundabout kind of on its own is the fact that we have peak hour issues with traffic at that intersection, but most of the day it works perfectly fine with a two-way stop. So having a signal, you would actually be delaying traffic in those times of the day when you really didn't need to. And so the roundabout's going to function the same 24/7 and with the minimal amount of delay. So overall, I think it's just the better way to go at this point. It does impact two residences there. The funds are available for that. And while I don't like to have to buy out properties to do stuff like this, it is necessary to do it sometimes, and this project is absolutely vital to the overall corridor project. I mean, the corridor would not function well unless we improve that intersection. In fact, the traffic models indicate that without improvements, the intersection would go to a level of service F. It basically would stop functioning with pre-flowing traffic. So we need to do something there, and that is a key for moving forward with the entire intersection. I also looked at and talked about in the memo the impact this would have on our subsequent corridor projects. Our next major one to fund there is the completion of the undercrossing project, and I'm planning to apply for TIB funds in August this year for that. That's a big project, and I haven't quite figured out how to get all of the money together yet, but I've got things starting to gel up a bit. Another thing TIB told me, that was actually in my presentation to TIB a big part of my discussion. I thanked them for all of the investments they've done in Cedra Woolley over the years, which is quite substantial. But I was also looking forward to that corridor project and making sure that was prominent in their thinking in supporting projects down here. And they're very much behind that. I've been discussing this with Director Probart for about 4 years now and presenting that to him. And they've indicated that they're willing to support that project in a much higher amount than they have projects here in the past. They mentioned somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 to $4.5 million. So combined with some funds that we should be able to pick up through the Council of Governments, we should be able to get up into $7 to $7.5 million range. That's still not enough with our current estimate for that part of the project, but we're looking at some design changes that would allow us to get it down into that realm and move that project forward. The funding that I've identified in our arterial project listing still shows that possible, even with this increase to fund this particular intersection. So putting all of those things together, it appears to me to be the thing to do for us, and that is what I'm recommending to Council, and I'll take any questions you have about that now.
All right. Are there any questions for Mr. Freiberger?
Thank you very much, Mark. I think that I do agree that the roundabouts, when they're functioning, do add a lot to the community, and we've definitely seen that in Anacortes and even in the roundabouts we have over by Walgreens and on more. It is difficult with the community because they see roundabouts and they get a little bit apprehensive, and then intimate domain of homes that people live in, and I happen to know those people on the corner, wonderful people, raised dogs, got kids in their house, and I'm not sure if they've been prepared or know about it. I know when we were looking at the original roundabout, I did ask, and then it went into the stoplight, which was a huge relief. So those are the only things that I really see with that, is the community kind of like just giving a little bit until we get the roundabouts in, and then it kind of settles down, because they do work like they do on 9 right now, working very well. But there was apprehension. I think people probably experienced that when they were going in about how many we had. So is there any, on a side note, any interest in improving the Jamison artillery to take some of the, divert some of the traffic coming in through Cedar Woolley back down through Minkler, Jamison onto 9? Well, would that help?
It's pretty much running that way now.
I don't think there's any like real signal or concept for a lot of people to know that that's there unless you're from here. So it's not like a high trafficked or high knowledgeable area. Plus Minkler, the entrance and exit from Minkler is pretty dangerous to get on. So it's not a well traveled or well understood. That would probably have to be fixed. And then the stop sign at Jamison would have to probably be placed into the township way of path and then allow that to free flow, if that was the case.
Yeah. As I've watched the traffic counts on Jamison, it's gone up by about 1,500 to 2,000 vehicles a day, which is, you know, about a, I don't know, 60, well, let's see, yeah, about a 25 to 30% increase over the last couple of years. So it's functionally acting as an arterial now and doing just what you're indicating. The long-term tip that we have does propose intersection improvements at Minkler and Railroad. That's down the road quite a ways. Eventually, it should be done. When the counts get up in the neighborhood of 7,000 or 8,000, then it should be done. That's quite a ways down the road, I would think.
I happen to know a lot of people up going traveling that way to get to Hamilton. They don't actually know that, and it's not an advertised artillery. There's no sign saying to Mount Vernon, to Highway 9, to Clear Lake on Minkler, or over there at the 9 roundabout going this way for Jamison. So even though it's kind of that way, I think that it could probably be improved and allow a lot of diversion of traffic. Yeah. But thank you very much.
We really wouldn't want to tout it very strongly until those intersection improvements took place, yeah, because of the reasons that you said.
Mark?
Yes, sir.
I represent the people that live on Jamison, and I think they would just welcome 3 times the traffic. We're all NIMBYs, and anyway, it's a great idea, Nick, but it's your idea, and it's not your ward. So anyway, I would just, we're representing the people. I don't think we need to make arrows and feet prints to where they can drive if they can't figure it out themselves. And one more thing on the roundabout, which was your subject. I hated them. I hated them. Now they don't bother me, and I think they are very safe. What are we looking at with a roundabout funding-wise?
Yeah, Mark, I have a couple of comments.
Just a moment here. He's answering question. He's answering.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, the numbers are pretty well in the memorandum
see if I can. The final cost of a roundabout intersection is $4.3 million, as opposed to a signal at about $3.1 million. It's about $1.5 million difference. And as I said, it's mainly the property acquisition for the two corners there.
Can you get more out of TIP?
Yeah, TIP is providing the bulk of the funding.
Can you get more from them? Or?
Well, I'm attempting to. And, in fact, the way I'm couching this motion to you, I'm applying for use of local funds up to $386,000. That would be at a 25% match percentage. But I'm going to apply for 20%, which would reduce that down from 386 down to a little under 200,000. I've got that in the memo here somewhere. About 173,000. So that would cut it down, you know, quite a little bit in itself. I'm not sure. I'm a former TIB board member, and you got to be careful how you approach things like this, you know. And part of the way they rank these projects is based on match. You're given some points for how much match you go beyond the minimum. Our minimum match is 10%. We were able to get it up to 25% with the application because of the fact that we had 25%. We got a number of points. And TIB board members are aware of that kind of stuff, and they're likely to point out, well, would you have been funded without, you know, your higher match percentage? Can we justify going lower? And that's a pretty hard argument to counter, honestly. TIB told me after we were selected for this that it was very close that we did not get funded. They said that that was a nip and tuck on this one. So pulling out every stop in the application, as I try to do, was successful with this one. And if we had come in with a larger project, it probably wouldn't have been funded either, because most of the time TIB does not fund projects over $2 million in our region. Usually they're less than that. I've had one instance in the past where we had more, and that was when we did the double roundabout project back in 2014. They funded that one more than $2 million, but it is unusual. So, but they have the money right now, and they're willing, and they're very supportive of roundabouts. You know, it didn't take any cajoling on my part whatsoever for the TIB engineer to say, well, I think we could fund a roundabout. We have the money for it, so... Yeah.
Would they at least throw in for the where you push the button, you know?
Well, that's all included in the project, so yeah, they would cover all of that.
So, Councilman Owen,
I just had a couple of comments for Mark. This is something we've been talking about for 2 or 3 years, and I'm so happy to see at least some action now. I don't care if it's a lot or a roundabout. If we can afford a roundabout, then I'd probably prefer a roundabout. But I'm just happy because we've been pursuing this thing, and that intersection has been a dangerous place, you know, for the school traffic and stuff. And I'm so happy that you're working on it, and I got all the confidence in the world in you, Mark. And I know, if you can come up with a deal on a roundabout, I know you'll do the best you can for the city. So I just want you to know that I appreciate all your hard work. And I see them lights burning out there sometimes when everybody else has gone home. So, yeah. But anyway, I want to thank you, and I want to pursue this thing and get it done.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Yes, Councilman McGoffin.
Oh, thank you. I just want to start by saying, you know, thank you. I think the reason we're seeing so much success is a testament to your hard work and the relationships that you've built over the years, too. I do have two questions. The first one's related to trucks. We do have quite a few trucks that come down the hill, kind of right where that intersection is. From a wear and tear and, like, you know, school children perspective, a signal is a little bit more easy to see sometimes than a roundabout, and we get quite a few trucks that go through the other roundabouts. Do we have any wear and tear issues compared to a signal?
Well, obviously, trucks are hard on any pavements. I can tell you that signals are not perfect for children crossing. We've been building the new signal in improvement at 20 and 9 there. And one of the things that's really apparent in looking at that, and I can't remember, it might have been you, One of the council members approached me about the fact that the trucks coming around the corner from 9 to 20, making that south to westbound turn, are not always looking real closely as they make that turn. And, in fact, that was really brought to home to me. You know, that project took a long time, weather and supply chain issues and DOT forcing us to do an extra traffic control plan in the midst of the construction cost us about 2 months on that and was the reason we didn't get it done by school opening. One of the things that happened, the contractor made a mistake on that particular ramp at the northwest corner and had to tear it out and redo it. And they did that, did all of the traffic control and put that in, had it all coned off, poured it, had it, kept it closed, had a guard out there, and a truck ran over all the barrels and right over the fresh concrete, just cutting the corner too close. And so they had to do it all over again. It cost us another two and a half weeks. Trucks are a problem, and they're a problem with a signal as well as a roundabout. The thing that a roundabout has inherently over a signal is you're only having to look one direction when you're going through the intersection. If you're doing a signal, you're having to look more than one direction, and they're just not as safe, and the data supports that. So while a signal, you know, has some advantages in that all the traffic theoretically stops, the truth of the matter is they don't always stop, and sometimes they run them. And with a roundabout, it's really difficult to run them. You know, they have to slow down because you have the concrete curbs and the chicanes that physically force you to do that coming into the intersection. So, you know, nothing's perfect. Mm-hmm. But it appears to me that that would be a better solution for that intersection with what I know today.
Okay. Thank you. The second question I had, just real quick. Does the budget include anything for, like, the aesthetics? That's one thing I've noticed in, like, Anacortes, Burlington, a lot of their roundabouts, you know, are more than just the rocks that we have.
This one really is pretty plain vanilla. We really don't have much room to put much in. We have 60-foot of right-of-way on Highway 9, and we have 50 on the two side streets, and so there's not much room to do much. I've had my street crew telling me they'd rather not have any more cobbles to deal with just because they have to keep the spraying up and keep the weeds out. But that's, we can't just pave it all either. That doesn't look great either, but it also creates a stormwater handling issue. We can take care of some of that by having infiltratable surfaces like the cobbles. So we'll do our best on that. This particular roundabout is going to be a compact one because of the right-of-way constraints. We're looking at a 90-foot inscribed circle as opposed to about 110 on the ones at Cook and at Ferry. So it'll be more or less a drivable roundabout with enough curb relief that the trucks are using the roundabout and not driving straight through. You got to be careful on that. An example of one of those compact roundabouts that doesn't work very well is the one over by the UPS facility in Burlington. They made that one with such flat curves that you can drive straight through it in a passenger car and not even notice it, and that doesn't work. So you'll see one with more aggressive curves than that, at least what we've got at Cook and Highway 20 on that. So, yeah.
Thank you.
By the way, on trucks, because the new route, the John Liner Road section in particular, and somewhat less on Jones, is a residential zone. We want to keep the big trucks out of there, and so this roundabout will be designed to allow for free motion of the, we call them a WB67. It's the truck trailer combination to go through the on the state route without any real issues. But they're not going to have the turning radius to make the turns to the John Liner or McGargle things. They're designed for more of it's a SU classification. It's a panel truck, you know, that's no more than 40 feet long to keep the large trucks out of that area. That's physically going to be that way, and it's going to be signed for that as well so that that we don't have trucks cutting around the downtown area on this new road. So just wanted to let you know that. It's a design feature we have baked into this thing.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Are there any other questions for Mark?
Just a quick statement.
The recommended action is in your council packet there, and we're recommending that you authorize Mayor Johnson to sign a scope change request to the Transportation Improvement Board for additional funding to revise the Township Street SR9 and John Liner McGargle intersection improvements to a roundabout intersection instead of the previously funded traffic signal intersection, including additional local match funds up to $386,000.
I do. Mr. Burns, did you have a...
I'll make it quick. I just wanted to thank you for your reply about the signal, the lights. I really was worried about safety with the roundabout being there, but having lights that they can activate sounds good to me. So thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, so as you heard, Mr. Freiberger is looking for a looking for action tonight. So do we have a motion?
Madam Mayor, do we have to do action tonight, or are we able to wait till the next meeting, or is that important? I was just hoping to maybe speak with those neighbors.
I would appreciate action tonight. The TIB board meeting is on the 26th, and so I wouldn't have time really to get everything together if we wait another 2 weeks.
Madam Mayor, I'm prepared to make a motion to approve the scope change request.
Thank you, Mr. McGoffin. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. So I have a motion by Councilman McGoffin, seconded by Councilman Owen. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mark, for all the hard work you do. It's quite involved. All right, moving on to our next item, which is an amendment to 2022-2023 collective bargaining agreement between the City of Cedar Woolley and AFSCME, resolving the wage opener. And Mr. Bush, this is you? Or yes, okay.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor Johnson and Council. So there are actually four labor-related items coming in a row here on the agenda, and I just want to make some opening comments on these, and then we'll go one by one. So things to note, these were all negotiated with a 40-year high inflation rate. So very difficult discussions that we had in terms of money with all of our bargaining units. We actually had every salary in the city open for discussion at the same time during last year. And we've been working at this since about April. So it's been a long haul. Want to thank Nikki for her work as our city attorney in helping to negotiate these. And Kelly as well for her fiscal analysis work, and then all the directors as well, because there's, while they're not at the table, we're talking with the fire chief, for example, about some of the technical proposals, and we're doing that with the other directors as well when it makes sense or when it's needed. So just thanks to the team for getting us to this point. Council, thanks to you as well. We had a lot of closed sessions to discuss these particular contracts, and we did stay within your guidance as we went through these, and we continuously checked in with you. We are requesting action tonight on these, and the reason for that is these tie to the first paycheck, essentially, of this year. We're coming in a little bit late with these, but it will help payroll greatly. Our pay periods run basically from the first of the month to the 15th day, so we're getting ready to process payroll for the first pay period of the new year. So if we can take action on these tonight, it will help us avoid doing all these retro pay calculations. And with that said, I'll dive into AFSCME here momentarily. We are going to do some additional work on the budgets as a result of these contracts, just the sequencing of things. Ideally, we'd have all of our contracts resolved before the 23-24 budget discussions we had with you, but that was not really possible this time around. So we're going to go back and do some work on the budgets, and we'll be back to you with some budget amendments going forward. And all of the unions here, all four of these contracts, the unions have ratified what's before you. So they've all signed off on it, and now it's really up to the council to decide what you'd like to do as well. So with that, jumping into the AFSCME opener, this resolves a wage opener that AFSCME had, what looks like an innocuous little piece of the contract, but turned into probably more work than the other, I would say definitely more work than the other things you'll see on the agenda this evening. It just was a very complex conversation. And it's a relatively straightforward, yet at the same time complex to implement amendment to the contract. So I'm not going to go into great detail on it, but the short of it is there's some retro pay involved, and that was a part of what was in the opener for the AFSCME employees, and it's 2.5%. It goes back to the beginning of 2022, and it includes all compensation, so overtime as well as regular wages. Then there's a inflationary bonus, which is something we're doing for all of our employees. AFSCME's is a little bit higher than non-reps and fire at $3,500, and that's for this first paycheck of 2023. AFSCME also already had in their contract a 4% cost of living adjustment, so that is being applied as well in this first paycheck. And then the classification and compensation study, which is what made this a complex discussion, which looked at all the AFSCME bargaining positions as well as all the non-represented positions, will be implemented on April 1st, 2023. That's when it begins. And the way it works is those increases for employees and when they get into the grid, that actually occurs on the date that they were promoted essentially into their position or hired if this is the only position they've held. And then there were some nuances to how they got placed in the grid that I can certainly cover if council wants to. But that's background on the AFSCME amendment that's before you.
Okay. Yes.
I'll recuse myself from the vote on that
one. All right. Thank you, Councilwoman Kesty. Are there any questions or comments?
I do have a question. You said retro will go back to the beginning of 22?
Correct. That is
why?
Because that is what was in the opener. We would bargain the impacts of the classification and compensation study to be determined, essentially. And so part of that, it included retro pay specifically called out. And so the way we decided to handle that was to apply a percentage to pay as opposed to trying to figure out, based on the results of the classification and compensation study, how would you backtrack that to the back beginning of 22? We did not do that analysis.
Were they working under an agreement in 19 or 2022 from a previous agreement?
Yeah, the AFSCME agreement, this is an opener in the middle of their agreement. So it's all of 2022 and all of 2023. And when the agreement was approved, it had this opener in it.
Is this a three-year contract or?
Two-year contract.
I thought it was three.
Two. Most of them are three, but this one was two.
Okay. Anyone else?
I just want to say thank you guys for negotiating this, and thanks for all the meetings to keep us up to date and to get our advice and guidance as we came together on that. So that was really appreciative and a lot of hard work, no doubt. I thank you for that.
Okay. If there are no other comments, do we have a motion?
Madam Mayor, I'll make the motion.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Madam Mayor, I'll second that motion.
Thank you. So we have a motion by Councilman Burns, seconded by Councilman Lavaca. It's an amendment to the 2022-2023 collective bargaining agreement between the City of Cedar Woolley and AFSCME, resolving the wage opener. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign? Okay. Motion carries. Moving on to item number four, which is the collective bargaining assessment between the City of Cedar Woolley and International Association Firefighter Local 1983.
Thank you, Mayor Johnson. And yes, this one feels like it was a long time ago that it got wrapped up, but it was actually not that long ago. And it did. There was a process then for ratification on the side of the firefighters, but it was the first one that we settled this time around. It is a standard three-year contract, and that is what we're shooting for. But one of the things we tried to do as we were going through this whole process with all of our unions is try to not have all of our contracts be open at the same time in the future, and we're trying to stagger them. So this one's 3 years. You'll see the police contracts that are about to come are 2 years, and the goal then is to have them end a little bit earlier, and then the next AFSCME contract we'll probably look at 3 years so we can so each year we would do one group, essentially, even though there are two police contracts. They bargain them together. So that's part of what we're looking at trying to do here. With that said, we can certainly cover this contract in detail if you'd like, but it was bargained within the parameters that council laid out. There are a lot of technical details in here about air handling and systems and vacation days and bidding and all kinds of things like that. We're happy to answer questions, but prefer not to take up too much airtime unless you'd like to go there.
All right. Are there any questions for Mr. Burns? Mr. Bush? Sorry about that. Then do we have a motion?
Madam Mayor, I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
I second.
Thank you. So we have a motion by Councilman McGoffin, second by Councilman Owen, to authorize the mayor to sign the collective bargaining agreement between the City of Cedar Woolley and the International Association of Firefighters Local 1983. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Moving on to item number five, the collective bargaining agreement between the City of Cedar Woolley and the Cedar Woolley Public Safety Guild representing the Police Department commissioned employees.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Johnson.
So Bush.
These are our police officers, and then you'll have the support employee contract as the next contract to come. Similar to fire, again, bargained within the parameters set by council. The compensation discussions and all of these contracts were the last thing that we did. So there are a lot of other elements to the police contract in terms of equipment. You know, there are equipment lists in there that have been reviewed. There's a new piece of this for mental health screening that we're really excited about, where we're going to have, in order to receive certain benefits, officers will be required to have a mental health checkup, and we'll have a specific expert to assist with that, an expert mental health counselor. So we're excited about that piece. There are a variety of things in here that we think are just a good, solid contract. And, again, the money is within the parameters set by council. So I can stop talking and see if there are questions.
Are there any questions for Mr. Bush? All right.
No.
Do we have a motion?
Again, this was one of those difficult ones. And I do want to say thank you for all the executive sessions, all the time of working with us. That was impressive to see, and it was a lot of work and a lot of negotiation. This one was another tough one. So,
all right, thank you.
I'll make that motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you. So we have a motion by Councilman Owen, seconded by Councilwoman Kesty. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. All right, moving on to item number six, again, the collective bargaining agreement between the City of Cedar Woolley and the Cedar Woolley Public Safety Guild representing the Police Department support employees. Mr. Bush.
Thank you. And these two contracts, if you read them, are very similar. So for what it's worth, there are differences, of course, the commissioned employees, but they read very similar, and so you'll see a lot of the same stuff. Negotiated within the council's parameters, and this one will have a little more similarity also to AFSCME's contract, because we have a lot of office workers with AFSCME, and these are office workers in the police department. So we made some parallel connections there as well. But with that, I'm happy to take any questions you might have.
Any questions for Mr. Bush? If not, do we have a motion?
Madam Mayor, I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. So we have a motion by Councilman Allen, seconded by Councilman Burns. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right. Motion carries. Moving on to the next item and the last item under new business. This is a first read, and we are revising the City of Cedar Woolley Employee Wellness Program. This is Resolution 111323. And Mr. Bush, as well as Katie and Joanne, are going to be here to speak to that. So go ahead, Mr. Bush.
Thank you. I'll kick this off briefly. We've done a lot of work on our employee wellness program over the last year as well. And I've got a couple of guest speakers here to talk a little bit about what we did with our wellness activities in the past year, and then what we're looking at going forward. And then I'll come back and talk a little bit more about the proposal in front of you. And again, it's a first read, so happy to take any questions you may have. But I'm going to start with Joanne Lazaron. And Joanne, if you don't know, is a retired employee from the city. And I just want to thank Joanne publicly for volunteering to come back and help us get our program tuned up. We were struggling to maintain the wellness coordinator position and to keep the level of energy that was here when Joanne was a part of our program. And so she has restored that. And we had a really fun year. And I'll turn it over to you to talk about it. Thank you, Joanne.
Okay. Good evening, Mayor, City Council. My name is Joanne Lazaron. I'm your 2022 Wellness Coordinator and retired city employee of 30 years. So I'm not retired. Well, I am mostly. I was mostly a volunteer this year. But anyway, I wanted to give you a quick summary of the 2022 Wellness Program. First of all, I want to say thank you to Mayor Julia and Charlie for giving me the opportunity to energize the wellness program this year. It was a wonderful year to come back and work with my coworkers that I've worked with for many, many years, and to meet a bunch of great coworkers, new coworkers that you guys all hired. They're wonderful. I wanted to thank the City Council for their continuous support over the years for the wellness program. I've been doing this for 8 years, but I know that a lady in finance was doing it maybe 3 years before that, so we've been doing it a long time. So I don't know if this is the first time you ever heard of the wellness program, but we've been doing it, and it's been wonderful. So I just wanted to let you know that every time I attended a wellness forum, either here in Skagit County or in Everett at a conference, I always bring up the support that the council and the mayor and the city administrators and my supervisors of every department, how they support our wellness program, how they're involved in our wellness program, the money that you put into the wellness program. Other cities are in awe of what of our city does, what the events we have. And they've actually contacted me, and I'm sure they're going to contact Katie, is how do you guys do this? How do you, where can I go get the information for that program that you're doing? Because they just, you know, they're just, because a lot of cities, they do not support their wellness program, and they give them $50, say, hey, go for it. That's what we do, and we are envy of a lot of cities that for what we're doing. So I say thank you again for all the stuff that you do. The goals of the program have always been to create a healthy environment and where employees spend most of their time, to reduce sick time and to enhance team building with opportunities throughout the city. In this last year, the Wellness Committee offered several events to participate in. Some of them were on-site yoga classes, chair massages that were well attended, the annual Trek for Treasure hiking challenge, and I don't know if you guys know it of that, but we had 10 teams this year. That's the most we've ever had, and that includes coworkers doing it together and family members doing it together, and that was from your public works, your police department, your IT department, and my department of the building planning engineering department and the finance department. We had our first Love to Ride Bicycle Challenge. Charlie was our team captain, and with his continuous encouragement, our team came in first place in our division. And so, Charlie, thank you. So Charlie got me back on a bike, and I haven't been on a bike since high school, which is many, many years ago, but we did it. So, and also we had 3 lunch and learns, which is the wellness program puts together a lunch at noon. All employees are invited, and we have a healthy lunch, and we have speakers come in for an hour, and they speak on certain topics that the committee wanted to talk about, mindful eating, the upcoming Trek for Treasure challenge, the biking challenge. We had the Sergeant Zach Carroll come and talk to us about drug awareness and prevention. And that was a wonderful presentation, knowing what's out there on the streets with the drugs and how we can see what's there and just all the information. So it's a little bit of everything, not just exercise and weight management. It's a little bit of everything we do. And just so you know, one of the requirements from AWC, which is the health insurance, to obtain our award is to achieve 50% participation rate. I am proud to announce we did 73% participation rate in 2022. So we are on our way getting our award. I will put everything on the computer on Friday, and we will hit the go button, and you guys should be able to get your 2023 award, which is a 2% discount on your medical insurance. So that's a big savings for the city. So, again, I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to help with the wellness program, and I am 100% confident that Katie will continue. The program was a great success.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Joanne.
Hello, everyone. I'm Katie Quinn. I don't think I've met most of you, so I thought this would be a good opportunity to see some faces and put some names to them. And so thanks for having us here. Mostly what I wanted to be here for was to kind of discuss the opportunities the wellness program gives us. I'm a newer employee here, and it was definitely something that it invited me to the city. We struggle with retention, we struggle with recruitment, we struggle with engagement. And this program gives us the opportunity to create that. I got to go to my first Lunch and Learn first week. It was great. I got to meet everybody. I got to get to know everybody. It's kind of our only opportunity to get to know the other departments, to understand the other people, to feel like we're more than just employees. And so I just wanted to be here to see if you guys had any questions about what we plan to do moving forward. Joanne left me with a great program, and we hope to make it even better next year. So we're happy to be here. We're happy to do it. Charlie's super devoted to the team. We've got a really dedicated committee right now that's excited and wants to make changes and wants to grow.
Thank you, Katie. Are there any questions for Katie? Any comments?
Katie, I just have a question. Do you guys write up a template, or would you consider writing up a template in the future and have that available for other local businesses to maybe join or mirror?
Yeah, absolutely. My background is actually in HR and recruitment, so this is kind of what I've done for a long time. We have a lot of opportunities for awards with this as well. I've joined with the AWC crew. I'll be training with them next week. And we want to be that town that everybody wants to know how to do it, and you know, that we present at the meetings, that we're showing our success. We've done really, really well. I worked for another city that really struggled, definitely just doing the program to get the 2% off, which is great and lovely for the city, but it doesn't do anything for your staff. It doesn't make them care about it. It doesn't make them feel like it matters. It's just going through the motions. And we want something that's more than that.
Thank you. Yes, Ms.
McGuffin. I just had a question. Do you think the council, is there anything that we can do to help, you know, make you guys feel more comfortable, happy with us, that feel like you're more engaged with us as part of the team too? Sometimes it feels like there's that separation. Is there anything that we can do?
For being a new person, I think just being at the city, coming and meeting the people, and if you guys want to participate in some of the events, that'd be great. We would love input from you guys as well. I mean, the goal of this is to make people feel like they belong and to make people want to be here and to make it kind of fun and not just a job and to make people healthy. It's proven that companies that have wellness programs have lower absenteeism than any other companies. And so if we can make people want to be here, we can do a better job.
Mr. Owen, do you have a question?
No, I don't really have anything. It'd be worth something to see Joanne ride a bicycle.
All right,
that's really good. I've seen it.
So this is actually a first read, but if you wish to move forward on this tonight, you certainly can, or we will bring it back. I think it's on the 25th. You may want to make a motion. You want to wait.
Make a motion to move forward with the resolution 1113-23 for the wellness program.
All right. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. And
can I vote on it?
Oh, you can vote on it. Okay. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we have a motion by Councilman Lavaca, second by Councilman Burns. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
Aye. I think we're rushing into everything.
Well, this has been going on for a while. So Joanne will be back. I've asked her to come back next month. She's going to be here at the city until the end of next month. So I've asked her to come back. So you will see her again at council meeting on the 22nd of February. I want to do a presentation for her. And Katie, I'm so excited about the fact that you're going to be taking over. You have great energy and you just bring so much to, you know, for being your first year, you have brought so much to, the city. So I want to thank you for doing that. All right. Anything else? Okay. Thank you, council. And, I can't think of anything for the good of the order. And with that, so the next city council meeting is January 25th at 6 p.m. We are adjourned. Thank you.